December 11, Zechariah, chapters 12, 13, and 14. Jesus says, "My church has already known periods of obscurantism due to a number of different things. It should not be forgotten that, if the church, taken as an entity, is a work as perfect as her founder, taken as a group of men, she presents the imperfections proper to what comes from men. When the church, and I am now referring to the gathering of her high dignitaries, acted according to the dictates of my law and my gospel, she experienced radiant times of splendor. But woe when, placing earthly interests before those of heaven, she contaminated herself with human passions. Woe three times over when she worshipped the beast John speaks of, that is, political power, and then made herself its slave. The light then darkened, necessarily, into more or less obscure twilights either, because of the deficiency proper to the heads who rose to that throne by human arts, or through their weakness in the face of human pressures. These are the times in which there are idle shepherds, about whom I have already spoken, the consequence, the root, of the errors of all. For if Christians were as they should be, whether powerful or humble, abuses and intrusions would not take place, and the punishment of God, who withdraws his light from those who have rejected it, would not be provoked. In past centuries, the antipopes and schisms came from those errors, and both the former and the latter divided consciences into two opposing camps, provoking incalculable ruins in souls. In future centuries those same errors will manage to provoke error, that is, the abomination in God's house, the sign preceding the end of the world. What will it consist of? When will it occur? It is not necessary for you to know this. I tell you, only that from a clergy cultivating rationalism excessively, and serving political power excessively, there can only come, fatally, a very dark period for the church. But do not fear. The prophecy of Zechariah is joined, like one ring to another, to John's. After this period of painful travail in which, persecuted by the forces of hell, the church, like the mystical woman John speaks of, after having fled to save herself, by taking refuge in the best, and losing the unworthy members in the mystical, I say mystical, flight, will give birth to the saints destined to lead her into the hour preceding the last times. Those who will have to gather the races around the cross, to prepare Christ's assembly, will have the hand of a father and a king. Nor will any race fail to respond to the appeal, with its best children. I will then come, and over against all the snares and stratagems, attempts and crimes of Satan directed towards my earthly Jerusalem, the militant church, I will set my power for her defense. I will pour my spirit upon all the redeemed of the earth. And even those who now suffer, expiating the sins of their fathers, and who are unable to find salvation, because they do not dare to turn to me, will encounter peace, for, beating their breasts, they will call down, in a way quite different from that of their fathers, upon themselves that blood already shed, which drips inexhaustibly from the members their fathers pierced. Like a fountain I will stand in the midst of my flock, entirely reassembled, and will wash in myself all the base actions of the past which repentance will already have begun to cancel out. Then, as the King of justice and wisdom, I will disperse the idols of the false doctrines, I will purge the earth of the false prophets who have drawn you into so many errors. I will take the place of all the doctors, all the prophets, more or less holy, or more or less wicked, for the final teaching must be cleansed of imperfection, for it must prepare those who have no time for purgation, and who are to be called quickly to the tremendous review for the last judgment. Christ the Redeemer, whose goal is to redeem you, and who leaves no stone unturned to do so, and who is already beginning and accelerating his second teaching to counter the cultural, social, and spiritual heresies which have arisen everywhere with his voice of truth, will speak with the signs of his torment. Rivers of light and grace shall emerge from my wounds, wounds which killed the Son of God, but heal the children of man. These living rubies of my wounds shall be a sword for the impenitent, the obstinate, and those sold to Satan, and a caress for the little ones as who love me as a loving father. This caress of Christ shall descend upon their weakness to fortify them, and my hand shall carry them towards the trial in which only those who love me with a true love withstand. A third. But this portion shall be worthy of possessing the city of heaven, the kingdom of God. Then I will come, no longer as the teacher, but as the king, to take possession of my militant church, now rendered one and universal, as my will made it. The centuries-long travail shall be over for her. The enemy shall be defeated forever. The earth shall be cleansed by the rivers of grace descending one last time upon it to make it as it was in the beginning, when sin had not corrupted the altar of this planet, destined to sing the praises of God with the other planets, which, because of man's sin, became the base for the scaffold of its Lord, made flesh to save the earth. With all the seducers overcome, all the persecutors who, at an insistent pace, have disturbed the church, my bride, she shall know tranquility and glory. We will rise together for a final ascension, my saints and I, to take possession of the city without contamination, where my throne is prepared, and where everything shall be new and without pain. Immersed in my light, you shall reign with me forever and ever. This is obtained for you by him who, for your sakes, became incarnate in Mary's womb, and was born in Bethlehem of Judah to die on Golgotha. Jesus then says to me, do not be disturbed, Maria. Say with me, I thank you, O Holy Father, for you have hidden these things from the powerful, and have revealed them to me, who am little. Let the thought of others muse as it pleases. You know that the source of your writings is God, that this comes from God. That's enough for you. Are you working for human glory? No. You are working for my glory. And so do not be busied, or concerned about human quibbles and human praises. Do your share. The reward shall be yours. The others, if they are unable to do their share, and do not take my gift into account, shall receive appropriate compensation. Be serene in your happiness, which is the most beautiful sign of the origin of these writings. Your happiness comes from your transformation in good. Your angel looks at you contentedly, for he sees you are changed in me. Assist the work of your Jesus however you can, as much as you can. Work continuously upon yourself. You must tend towards perfection. Suffer so as to be able to, and suffer for your brothers and sisters who are so deaf to the voices of love. If I have made you a reservoir of my word, so that the thirsty may drink from it, you must breathe in the word, at the cost of a continuous sacrifice. Sufferings of the flesh, sufferings of the heart, sufferings of the mind, and sufferings of the spirit, everything must be of use to you for this purpose. I permit all, because I want your power as a victim who conquers souls for heaven by her suffering, to grow more and more. I reassure you about the doubt which Satan is trying to inject into you, the only weapon he has left to disturb you, the doubt as to whether you are in error. Live securely in Jesus. Go in peace. Even if the world were to reject your gift, I would not take away from you the honey of my word, and it would remain entirely in you, as in a royal coffer of which you would be the absolute queen. Sleep with my blessing. Jesus says, when the Creator made the earth, he brought it out of nothingness, by gathering together the gases of the ether, already created to become the firmament into a rotating mass that became solidified into a collection of meteors growing and growing around the central core. Even your denial, I call the science seeking, to provide explanations by negating, God, denial, admits centripetal force, which enables a body, to rotate without losing part of itself, but, rather, while attracting all parts to its core. You have machines which, though grandiose, microscopically repeat the centripetal power created by God to make the worlds, and oblige them to revolve around the sun, a fixed pivot, without rushing out of the heavenly paths assigned to them, disturbing the order of creation and provoking cataclysms of incalculable destruction. The earth, thus being formed in its race as a nebular projectile solidifying by traversing space, necessarily had to take from space radiation and elements proceeding from other sources which remained enclosed within it in the form of volcanic fire, sulfur, water, and different minerals, which emerge on the surface, bearing witness to their existence, and to the mysteries of the earth, a planet created out of nothing by God, my Father, which with all your science you are unable to explain with precise truth. How many good forces you still do not know, you that are masters, in discovering and using wicked forces. You ask evil for the latter, and he teaches them to you to make you his tortured ones, and the torturers of your fellows in his name, and for his service. But you do not ask for good forces from good, who would paternally teach them to you, as he taught the first men, though they were blameworthy, and condemned by him, the means for their earthly existence, and how to use them. There are beneficent fountains and salutary juices which you still do not know, and which would be so useful for you to know. And not only this, there are some which you know, but do not want to use, preferring others, real hellish drugs which ruin your bodies and souls. For this reason do they cease to exist. Those founts and whose drops there are dissolved salts taken from minerals enclosed in the depths of your planet and emerging from the strata, and through veins in the ground up to the surface, whether icy cold or boiling hot, tasteless, colorless, and odorless, or with a taste, color, and odor perceptible to your senses. No. They continue to be created, like blood in your bodies, within the earth, by a process of continuous assimilation and transformation, as with the food which in your stomachs becomes blood nourishing tissues and marrow, organs and cells, which are then producers of blood. They go on trickling, just as sweat goes on emerging through the tissues. They obey. If that were to exist no longer, explosions in the terrain would take place, and the earth, like a boiler without outlets, would burst, causing your death. Maria, I want you to be like one of these founts. I nourish you by a process of assimilation to myself which my goodness has willed. But, without being concerned about whether or not the spiritually sick come to you to imbibe what is trickling out of you, which is my word, or being disturbed, if those to whom it is particularly offered, and who most ought to, do not draw from it, because they do not believe it is healthful and holy, and those who happen to be brought into contact with it benefit from it, you must continue your mission as a fount which is filled, and allows itself to be drawn from. I will always nourish the fount of my word in you. It is enough for you to give me love, humility, will, and a spirit of sacrifice. But if you have love, you already have everything, for it is the generator of every virtue. Those who love, are humble towards the one loved, in whom they see every perfection. Those who love, are willing to content the one loved. Those who love, do not feel repugnance at sacrifice, if that sacrifice may be useful to the one loved. This is also valid for human loves. This is, moreover, multiplied a hundredfold when love is superhuman. And you, that already know the fruit of humility and sacrifice, two powerful magnets attracting me with all my supernatural gifts, increase your humility and sacrifice to the point of annihilation and delirium. Long live the victims who are delirious with divine love, who are carried off in it, the victors over the world, which they place beneath their feet, and the conquerors of God, of Christ, the supreme victim. Prayer of the Virgin to the Word. O Holy Word! Gift given to God's Beloved, a robe of fire which you encircle with splendors, life who become the life of those to whom you give yourself, may you be loved more and more by them, as I loved you, in ardor and humility work in these children of yours, O Most Holy Word, for I took them as my own, at the foot of the cross, to bring comfort to my agony as a mother whose adored son was slain, and lead them to heaven along the way of shining truths and ardent works. Lead them unto my heart, where you slept as an infant and rested when slain, where there are still drops of your most holy blood and my tears, so that the rest of their humanity will vanish on contact with it, and they luminous in your light, may enter with you into the city, where everything is eternal perfection and you reign and will reign, my holy son. The same prayer, said by the faithful. O Holy Word! Gift given to God's Beloved, a robe of fire which you encircle with splendors, life who become the life of those to whom you give yourself, may you be loved more and more with ardor and humility work in these children of yours and of Mary, who took them as her own at the foot of the cross, to bring comfort to her heart as a mother whose adored son was slain, and to give glory to your divine heart, O Most Holy Word of my Lord God. Lead them to your heart, and to the immaculate heart of your mother, where you slept as an infant and rested when slain, where there are still drops of your blood, and of her motherly tears, so that the rest of their humanity will vanish on contact with them, and they, luminous in your light, may enter with you into the city, where everything is eternal perfection and you reign, and will reign, Holy Son of God, incarnate Word of the Father.